Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. And this is our Inside the NFL Draft segment brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. And guys, we'll talk about it today, the breakdown of the top tackles and the differences between all of them, because there's no perfect prospect, none. Hasn't been since I've been doing this almost 40 years. Ain't seen one yet. But we'll go through the top tackles that'll get selected, all within the top 20 picks in round one.
I'm with you 100%, Mike. I got six guys going to the top 18. Six tackles. I've started to work on my mock a little bit. You said there wasn't a perfect prospect, but let's start out with the best one, the one that's a clear top 10 pick, and I don't think he falls past number seven with Tennessee. That's Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Joe's an interesting prospect because, you know, he's 6 foot seven and change. He's 315 pounds. His dad had him playing baseball and hockey. Now, can you imagine a dude that tall with a hockey stick in his hand and kicking a puck around? I'm sure he cleared out a lot of hockey fields doing that. Long, lean athlete, you can tell. Man, he knows how to use his feet really well, really gifted from the lower body down in his ability to move his feet. And he's coordinated for such a big man that he can bend his knees. He's not a waist bender. He's a knee bender. Got really long arms. He knows how to kind of just take you and steer you way away from the play if you're trying to get pressure on him as a pass rusher. He is not a power player by any stretch of the imagination, and he's taken a lot of hits for that. My thing about it is, does his man beat him? The answer is no. You don't have to kill a guy in front of you. Now, it would be great if he was a more powerful player at the point of attack. I'd like to see him use his hands a little bit stronger in as a run blocker to kind of latch on and beat that guy at the point of attack. But he does a good job of angle blocking and leverage, and he just takes you out of a play. You don't have this is 1960s football or 1970s football. This is about beating your guy. And one thing I can say with Joe Alt, he rarely gives up pressure, and he always takes care of his guy in the run game. He's not the most powerful guy. He's not built for that. But his leverage skills, angle skills are really good, and he's a top-of-the-line pass protector. And his ability to use those long arms and to steer you way out of the play and give your quarterback time to throw the football.
You talked a little bit about Alt's pass protection. I think you and I both agree that one of the, if not the best, pass pro left tackle in this class is Penn State's Olu Fashanu, your second guy on the board.
Yeah, Olu is an interesting guy. He's always played on the left side. Outstanding pass protector, team leader, smart. You can see his hand placement skills are so good. Now, people have been critical of him. Well, you don't have the biggest hands. My thing about hands is his hand placement. You can have the biggest hands in the world. If you don't know where to put them, then, you know, you're stuck in neutral. He's got really good hand placement skills, but it's his lower body ability to move, adjust, move his feet and counter move what a defensive end is giving him. Now, similar to Alt, he is not what you want to consider a power player. He is much more of a leverage guy. And I'd like to see him become a little bit more physical at the point of attack as a run blocker. But as a pass protector, he's really good. Great team leader. You talk to the coaches at Penn State, they rave about his leadership skills, his film study work, how he works at his game, and is constantly wanting to get better at it. I like him a lot. I really like him a lot. And I think, you know, he's a guy you got to seriously consider if he's up on the board when the Saints would pick.
And Mike, Olu is the first of three straight tackles on your big board. And you talked a little bit about the finesse part of his game. The next guy on the right side, it's a complete opposite deal with Talisa Fuanga, who is just the big power right tackle from
Oregon
State.
Ain't nothing finesse about
Fuanga. No, sir.
He's a thickly built big man who's a strong side player. Has always played on the right. When you watch Oregon State play, when they run the football, they run right behind him. Team leader, another guy. Football means a lot to him, you know, and he puts a lot of effort into it. He is powerful at the point of attack as a run blocker, and you can see the movement skills. And he keeps those legs churning, and he just keeps riding you as far as he can. And he plays sometimes a little bit beyond the whistle, but man, he is a very focused and a very good run blocker. I think the biggest improvement with him I've seen over the last 2 years has been his pass protection skills. He's gotten much more, say, coordinated from the waist down with his leg movement skills, his body adjustments to a hard pass rush coming off the edge. But when he was getting beat, he was getting beat inside with moves. And how he adjusts his body now, much, much better as a pass protector. Again, team leader, smart, right-handed type guy. He's going to play on the strong side. And in today's game, people say, well, you know, that right tackle, he don't always play against the best pass rushers. Well, partially is the game has changed dramatically. And that at one time, your right defensive end, which your best pass rusher, would go up against your left tackle. Not anymore. They swing them around, even in college. So he's had to go up against some really good pass rushers out in the Pac-12. He's done a very good job. He's a guy in another draft class. Charlie, I'm honest with you. He's probably a top 7 or 8 pick. But in this draft class, he's 10, 12, maybe 14.
I'm in 100% agreement with you, Mike. I love Fuanga. And another note about him is that he was a Senior Bowl guy. So the Saints, you know how they love their Senior Bowl, and they got plenty of scouts to take a look at him early on in the draft process. Another guy on the right side, kind of the same similar, not necessarily profile athletically, but the same type of run-blocking right tackle, and J.C. Latham, who's, you know, this sort of road grader, I would say.
Okay, he came to one of our camps. He basically measured out at 6'4", which he did at the combine. He stepped on the scales. He was 351 pounds. You take a look at him. He looks like a double-wide refrigerator. I mean, he's a guy, but he's compact for that. You say, man, there's no way he's 350-something pounds. But yet, he is. He's a really coordinated athlete. And that's what jumps out at you. For a big man, as powerful as he is a very coordinated athlete in the lower body. He gets a really strong push with that initial surge as a run blocker. He locks his hands on you. It's over. You got no shot at beating him. He came in as the road grader, as you would say, but he's gotten much better in the pass protection part of the game. And a lot of times, this was a little bit like Fuanga, in that if he was getting beat, it wasn't necessarily with an outside move, but it was with an inside concept. And he's learned how to use that wide body really well to kind of his advantage here. He still needs some work as a pass protector, like every offensive tackle prospect in his draft class. But he's basically played on the right. He spent a little time on the left, but he seems much more comfortable on the right side. Tremendous run blocker. Very improved pass protector. And when you see him, you say, that's what an offensive lineman looks like. Because he's not this long, lean guy. He's 6'4", he's compact, and he's a double-wide freezer. I mean, it's a 1250 cab ride to get around him.
Yeah, Mike, talking about the physical build of some of these prospects, we're going to get to the mountain of a man here in a little bit. But first, your 15th guy on the board, Troy Fautanu from Washington, who I just love as a prospect. I think that if he's there, the Saints could probably use him because he can play multiple different spots on the left side of the offensive line. He's played guard. He's played tackle. You see him as a tackle. And if he was just a little bit bigger, I think we both agree that this would be a guy that's a slam dunk top 10 pick.
Okay, if he's 6'5", we're not having this conversation that lasts until 14. But he's 6'3¾". Here's my thing about that. They're always a little bit of an outlier type player, and he's it. He's always played on the left side. He played a little bit early in his career at left guard, but last 2 years he's been a starting left tackle and a real good one. He is the most technically sound offensive lineman in this draft class. Of the early offensive linemen, he's the most technically sound. His footwork, his hand placement skills, his ability to get that strong initial push. He's not a great steerer, but he's a stunner. He hits you with them hands, and he sort of stuns that pass rusher, and then he rolls him a little bit. So he does it a little bit different than some of the other guys, but he's got a bit of a compact build, again, at 6'3¾". But, he's had negatives. Well, he didn't guard the backside of Michael Penix. Well, okay, again, we go back to it. Not all of the top pass rushers are coming off the left. They're moving them to the right, and Penix was left-handed. So I think the world of Troy. I think he's a terrific prospect. I think there will be some mixed opinions on exactly where he ends up. Some people feel he's much better at left guard than left tackle. Here's my thing with that. I'm going to let you play left tackle to prove me that you can't. I think he's a left tackle in the NFL. And he's a good one. He's a really good football player and the best technician of the group that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, Mike, I'm in a complete agreement. I love Fautanu. I think that, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that gets a little bit overdrafted than where we kind of anticipate him going. Like, there's a couple spots in the early teens I could see being a great spot for Fautanu to land. But moving on to, as I kind of previewed a little bit ago, Mike, the mountain of a man, but he doesn't have any tape on him. He's got 8 games of college tape, Amarius Mims, but you just look at the guy and you just think, yeah, that's going to be, if he develops and he turns into his, like, if he hits his ceiling, you're looking at an all-pro right tackle.
Yeah, beating him is like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, he's a huge dude. Of all the tackles, he has the most dreaded word put next to him.
Potential.
Potential.
Yep.
Because he's only started 8 games. He's had a long list of injuries. Then he goes to the combine. What he does, you know, he's running the 40-yard dash and he pulls up. But, man, when you stand next to him, you see, whoa, he's like a giant out there on the field. And he's a very powerful young man. He comes off the snap really well for a big man. And you would think that he is more of a waist bender, but he's gotten much better in those sinking those hips and then lowering his knees and getting into you. And he puts it to you. I mean, and he's real physical at the point of attack. Where he's going to have to make some improvement is in the pass protection part of the game. Again, the 8 games, if you watched it, he's the best offensive lineman on the field. But it's to get him to stay there. And from a pass protection standpoint, he is a bit of a grabber. He'll reach out with those long arms and he wants to grab you. You get away with that in the college ranks, not so much in the pros. So you can see he's a neophyte as far as a technician. If you're patient with him, he's got a chance to be awfully special. But 2 things have to happen. 1, he's got to get better as a technician, as a pass blocker. And 2, got to stay healthy. To only play 8 games and start 8 games in 3 years when you're clearly the best offensive lineman on that Georgia team tells you a lot about the guy, but it tells you also about his history of injuries. But you know what? When saying all that, I don't think he gets to 21 in this draft class. I think, you know, somebody's going to say, you know what? He gives us what we are looking for, and he might not start year 1, but he'll start year 2 and maybe for another 12, 13 years.
The fact that he's got 8 games on tape and that he's still like a guaranteed top 20, top 21 pick is just absolutely ridiculous. But
you know, the only guy, and he didn't play offensive line, Eric Swan. He didn't play college football.
Wow.
He was a first-round pick of the Cardinals. I don't remember a guy with as little tape as he has as an offensive lineman. Defensive lineman, Swan had zero tape. He was playing semi-pro ball, that sort of thing. But, man, Amarius Mims is the all-potential pick.
He's got the talent to do it. He's got the size to do it. And we'll just have to see what situation he goes into. But, Mike, looking at a guy that has a ton of tape, moving on, if you move down in this draft, if the Saints decide, okay, we want to pick more picks in the third round, fourth round, let's accumulate some more picks by moving down from 14 to maybe the early 20s, a guy that I could see going in that range that I think a lot of people really, really like and have kind of gotten high on recently is Duke's Graham Barton.
Yeah, you know, with Graham, I had him in my 20s. Before the season, he's still there today. But I think about him as an 18-year-old. You come off of a high school campus. You're a backup left tackle at Duke. And the starting center and the backup both get hurt. Never played center before. So the offensive line coach at Duke says, hey, kid, you want to give it a shot? He starts 6 games. You know how many sacks he gave up? 1. In 6 games as an 18-year-old, and you going up against grown men, you know, young men, but still grown young men. He was really good as a freshman, been a 3-year starter at left tackle, outstanding technician, knows how to use his arms and hands really well. He is a quick-footed guy who can adjust, readjust to fast movements up front. He's much more the technician than the power player. Man, is he awfully good. You watch him on tape and how he gets that big body in front of the defender and so quickly and takes him out of the play. So Graham Barton's been someone I've really liked over the last couple years. He caught my eye early as an 18-year-old freshman playing center for the first time, and he's starting, and he's making the adjustment calls up front along an offensive line. That takes a lot. Man, you got some moxie to do that. I think Graham Barton, it wouldn't surprise me anywhere from 18 to 24 in round 1 is where he gets selected. He could play center for you because we've seen it. Play left tackle, could play guard. Ain't a lot of guys that can do that. And he's just so versatile, so talented, super smart, gets it, and he's not intimidated by any stretch of the imagination, no matter what situation you put him in.
Well, Mike, that about covers it. We got 6 guys going in those top 18 to 20 picks, and then Graham Barton kind of sneaking in there as well. That's, you're looking at 7 offensive tackles potentially in those top 24 picks. That's incredible. Once again, listen to them
and
all.
Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, we didn't even mention Guyton.
We didn't even talk about Tyler from Oklahoma, who has played on the left and the right, mostly on the right side. But think about that. 8 tackles in the top 25. Selections in this draft. No, when I'm paying them cats the way I'm paying, I got to pay them at quarterback. I got to have people that can protect him, that he's standing up and not, you know, on an operating table somewhere.
Just kind of recap in here, Mike. We got Notre Dame's Joe Alt as the 5 guy on your big board. Then there's a run of 3 straight tackles. You got Olufoshanu from Penn State, the left tackle. And then 2 guys on the right side, Talisa Fuanga from Oregon State, J.C. Latham from Alabama at the 11 and 12 spots on your big board. Moving a little bit further down the list, you got Amarius Mims still sneaking in as a top 20 prospect from Georgia. And then we also mentioned, once again, looking at Graham Barton, your number 26 guy, and then Tyler Guyton at number 24. A lot of offensive tackle talent in a stat class in 2024.
Think about Fatana Woody's 15th, and he's a multi-position player, that tackle guard. So it's a really great class along the offensive line. And could we see 2 centers sneak in? There also Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Fraser from West Virginia. No, offensive linemen get paid, and this is a draft where you can double dip and get much better. And that's it for our Inside the NFL Draft segment, brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. We come back, we'll have a lot more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!